I'm Grisha, compulsive overeater. Okay. 5 minutes for what it was like, 5 minutes for what happened, and 5 minutes for what it's like now. I hope. Yeah, it's good to be back in this room. I love this room and this meeting. I live in San Francisco, so I don't come to it very often unless I'm speaking or unless I'm in the hood. So let's see. Welcome to the newcomers, two of you who identified, and anybody else who didn't identify. If you're like me, this will work where other things didn't. In the Unity Prayer, it says, together we can do what we could not do alone. And so that's what happened to me. I tried a lot of things. I'm a 100-pounder. My top weight was 320 pounds. I was morbidly obese for most of my early adult life, some of my childhood. And I tried everything. A diet, every commercial, lots of commercial diets, lots of crazy diets. The internet hadn't been invented quite yet, so there weren't any crazy internet diets. But there were sometimes a mimeograph or something that was going around where somebody copied some weird diet, you know, that you got bootleg and was a fifth generation copy, and you try it out for a couple weeks, maybe have success, and then gain it all back with some bonus points. Yeah, I just kept trying different things. I just was starting to get a lot of physical problems. You know, I had bone spurs on my heels. My knees were bothering me. I was always just like hot, sweaty, uncomfortable. You know, I hated the fact that I always had to be eating. And it was just that complete obsession all the time. If I was not eating, I was thinking about eating. And if I wasn't eating, I could only think about eating. And then as I was eating, I would just think, I shouldn't be eating. You know, like I was like this whole all or nothing. I just either wanted to starve myself until I got to my goal weight or eat to oblivion. And I didn't understand any kind of balance with that. I was in 12-step recovery before OA. And so I had worked all the 12 steps all the way through with a sponsor. I'm from Washington, D.C., so I moved here. I thought that California was going to solve my eating problem. I was going to become a California health nut and, you know, exercise. And I got here, and my weight actually went up, up, up. I got involved in the fellowship, my first fellowship here, and we would go out to fellowship after meetings and just, you know, one of the ways we celebrated was to eat and hang out together. And so I was the person at the table who would wolf my food down in 5 minutes or less and then wait for every, you know, normie around the table to say, oh, I'm just stuffed. And then I just swap my empty plate for the rest of theirs and finish it off. And then after that, let's go to dessert. Everybody want to go to dessert? Who wants to go to dessert? And so that was just me. And it would be the kind of thing where I'd be in bed already, ready to go to bed, work tomorrow, but I lived about 200 yards from Safeway. And I just would get up and walk over to Safeway and buy an entire blank and with a little container of blank and mix the blanks together and eat it all up and have a food coma before bed. And then, you know, I ate all day. I got up and had my breakfast at home, and then I had my breakfast that I got from the cafe below work, and then I took a break from work and got a snack and a mocha, and then I had a giant lunch, and then I had another break, and then I had dinner, and then I had my, you know, fellowship. It was just like all day, and it's really the only thing I wanted to do, and it's also the only thing I didn't want to do. So just that obsession was really intense. And then what happened, someone in the other fellowship that I was in had been an OA and was on a relapse. He was like myself, a century person, over 100 pounds to lose. And he had lost the 100 pounds, been abstinent in OA for a few years, and then relapsed and went back out and gained it all back. So he said, I'm going back to OA. You want to go? And I'd actually, in the diet days, gone to an OA meeting in Arlington, Virginia. And it was a Howe meeting. And it was it must have been in a particularly Christian neighborhood because it seemed very religious when I went there. And they were holding hands and saying the Lord's Prayer and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know, it just didn't click for me. And they were handing out a food plan, which seemed impossible. So that didn't click. And so my image of OA was, or my thought about OA was, that's not going to work. But I went anyway, and it was the lifeboat meeting in San Francisco. It was a giant, very social meeting with, you know, three coffee urns full of hot tea and, you know, giant literature table and people just, you know, joyful recovery. And I went and instantly felt at home, really. And but I also still held on to the idea, like, well, how does that work? I mean, I knew the 12 steps. I knew how to work them. I knew how to stay sober with them. But the idea of applying that to food seemed baffling to me. And so luckily I had this one friend who brought me into OA, and he really, you know, put down the yellow bricks, and I followed the yellow brick road behind him. And I was always about, you know, like 6 months and 60 pounds behind him. You know, like he knew the program really well. He was back. He was on it. He was accelerating. I was a little bit slower with my progress. But, you know, what I did and what I encourage newcomers to do is just keep coming back. You know, like, just keep coming back no matter what. If you gain 1,000 pounds back, just keep coming back. Because at least for me, there's no hope. There's no other way. I've tried everything else, and this is the only way that worked for me. And it continues to work. And I can say that I'm comfortably abstinent today. And I've been abstinent. In January, I celebrated 20 years of abstinence. And, you know, I never, if you had told me 20 years ago that was going to happen, I wouldn't have believed you. I wasn't even sure I'd live 20 more years. And so more of what happened was, you know, I kept going to meetings. I got service commitments. I started right away diving deep into the program. Like, I went to the 7 a.m. On Saturdays, I would get up and go to the 7 a.m. writing meeting. Or no, 7 a.m. OA codependency meeting, followed by the writing meeting. And I would meet with my sponsor after that. And just went to tons of meetings. Did my step work faithfully, joined intergroup, so I did service at a higher level, just really kind of put myself in the OA lifeboat, and slowly just put together day after day after day of abstinence. And for me, in the beginning, it was one meal at a time. I couldn't, the idea of a whole day was a little bit overwhelming, so one meal at a time. And my first food plan, I would not call abstinent today. But my food plan now, there's no way I would have even attempted it back then. So, you know, for me, I had to, like, slowly figure out how to do this. And so my first food plan, I took on one day at a time, one meal at a time, and I stayed abstinent. It was no sugar and three meals a day with nothing in between. And the weight loss was painfully slow. The other recovery was nice. You know, it was like meeting with my sponsor, working the steps, really getting a handle on how the 12 steps work around food, and just the discipline of my food plan and the discipline of meetings and step work and writing. And after about a year, I was at that same meeting talking to a newcomer, and I heard myself say to this person, "Some people don't eat flour and grains. I couldn't do that. You're welcome to try." And I just thought, like, for some reason, and then the speaker that night, it just hit me, like, why don't you try it? You know. And so I went to that morning meeting. It was Friday lifeboat. I went to the Saturday morning meeting. I wrote about it. I talked about it with my sponsor. I wrote in my journal. I still go back and look at it occasionally, like, okay, you're going to try this for one meal, and if it doesn't work, you're still abstinent on your old food plan, but, you know, just try it. And there's a whole funny story about what happened that I told 1,000 times, but I only have probably 5 more minutes. So anyway, the bottom line is I made it through a meal without flour, sugar, or grains, or starch. And I continued to just do that one meal at a time. And then it was like, then the obsession really got lifted. It took a while. I mean, I felt like I was physically altered, in an altered state for several weeks. But in the end, the obsession was removed. Maybe that was the exorcism. but I stayed abstinent one meal at a time. I lost another 100 pounds. life started to open up. It was a little bit scary, actually, to be in a normal-sized body for the first time since I was, what, 8 years old or something. And to start to have to deal with, like, sex and dating and buying clothes and think. And I remember there was this one day where I had all my giant clothes, and my brother, one of my brothers who I competed with in the dieting years, he had sent me a FedEx box of all of his triple X shirts. And it was his way of saying, like, okay, I'm done with these. You can have them. I'm on a diet, you know. And so he didn't know. He hadn't seen me. He was back east. I was here. He didn't know that in the year since I'd seen him, I'd lost 100 pounds. But there was that moment where I was like, okay, I have all these triple X clothes. Like, you know, I have all these size 48 and 50 waists. Am I keeping them? Am I going to go back to that? You know, like, can I really keep going like this? You know, like, it was a year and a half or 2 years into it. And my sponsor said, let it go. Turn it over, let it go, keep coming back, have faith. And I took all that stuff to Goodwill. And I never had to go back. So I just remember that fear. That I just had a deep fear. Like, all those days when I dieted and it was successful for a week or 2 weeks or a month or 2 months or even 3 months maybe, I always went back to hell, to food hell, you know. And so far for 20 years, I haven't gone back to food hell. And I'm really grateful for that. So yeah, again, like, my life exploded. Everything was great. I got I used the steps, and I got this sponsor who was like kind of militant. No, that's a terrible word. She was rigorous and amazing, and I was able to, like, through writing and a specific daily 10-step format, get to the heart of a lot of matters. And I changed my careers. I went back to school full time. I started dating. I was in a long-term relationship that lasted 7 years. I went in and out of that relationship. I mean, just so many things changed. And it really, I just give the credit all to the 12 steps and the work that we do here. Any problem that I've ever had, if I'm willing to work the steps around it and take action, then I get relief. I get there. So the solutions come where they never used to come. There was a period of time where I started running, and I was someone who would think of any and every excuse and lie and forge note to get out of gym class. And I started running, and I started running marathons, and I ran four marathons, a bunch of half marathons, and running became one of the really big parts of my life. And but over time, my body couldn't take it anymore. I had to stop, and I was getting injuries. So what it's like today is I'm very comfortably abstinent, but I'm also, I don't do the kind of exercise that I used to love to do. I don't get that joy out of exercise anymore. And that's a struggle that I want to really apply the steps to right now. That's what's going on for me. I'm getting older. Obviously we all do every day. Last week, I grew my beard out a little bit. It's all gray now. And one of my former kindergarten students, who's now like in fourth or fifth grade, he came up to me and he said, "Mr. Haywood, are you getting old?" "Yes, I am." And so, as a matter of fact, I am. And like I've got a wrist injury from a recent move. I have a foot injury from I don't know what, just getting old. Exercise for me, I mean, I have a job where I'm active and I'm on my feet all day and I'm moving around a lot, and I do the shoe tie lunge all day. I'm not really taking care of myself in the way that I used to when I was running, and I miss that. Today's actually really good. I mean, I'm very comfortably abstinent. I really want to be more physically active. And take care of myself in a better way physically. I also want to just say for newcomers, like, and people who are struggling, like, this too shall pass is a really important slogan for me. I had a really difficult year last year, and for about a year and a half, I was in a car crash where the person who was driving was killed. I had five children in my class who were emotionally disturbed and who were, like, violent and By the end of last school year, I think in terms of school years, not calendar years, by the end of last school year, I was on antidepressants or anti-anxiety medication. I had three therapists that I was seeing once a week. I was like a wreck. And I thought it was a really dark period. I stayed abstinent throughout it. My food plan never changed. I eat the same boring crap every day. And thank God that doesn't bother me. You know, like, I just don't care about that. It's I get up and eat the same breakfast every day. And before I eat my breakfast, I make the same stupid lunch every day. And then after at dinner, you know, I have like three options that I choose from, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And that's just easy. But when you wake up feeling like, you know, like you're going to freak out and you're anxious and or you're sad or you're depressed, it's really hard to get through that. And the program taught me that you just take action. You know, I got three therapists. I got, you know, I was doing all these different modalities, talk therapy, acupuncture, and what's it called? Somatic experiencing. It's like I did all this stuff just because I was like, okay, whatever it takes, I got to do whatever it takes to get through this. And I got through it. And this year I feel much more joyful, much more peaceful. I'm not on any medications. I'm just like, I'm just me. I'm on my food plan. I'm in my programs and I'm happy, joyous, and free. So I think I'm out of time. I just want to say again, please keep coming back, all of you. I feel like I was just talking to Harry before the meeting that, you know, Lifeboat is where I got abstinent. And it was truly a lifeboat. It was like this amazing meeting of 100 people and giant literature table and just so much amazing fellowship and sponsorship and recovery. And it's gone, and meetings have shrunk over time. And I fear for the life of OA, you know, like, let's keep it strong. Let's keep coming back and keep carrying the message and be here for each other, because without it, I'm toast. Or I'm eating toast. And anyway, thanks for letting me be here.